The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the third chapter. Jesus went home, and the crowd came together again so that Jesus and the disciples could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, "He has gone out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebul, and by the ruler of demons, he casts out demons." And he called them to him and spoke to them in parables. How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins in whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said, "He has an unclean spirit." Then his mother and brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you." And he replied, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. I invite the young people to come forward for a children's message. Good morning. Glad you're here this morning, huh? You got out on a rainy day to come to worship. Glad for that, huh? And Calvin and Clara have been greeting today, and Abby has been helping too, I think, huh? Yeah. Well, I have a question for you. Have you ever gotten in trouble for eating something you weren't supposed to? Huh? Have you ever gotten in trouble for eating something you weren't supposed to? How many of you have gotten in trouble for eating broccoli? How many of you have gotten in trouble for eating a hamburger? How many of you have gotten in trouble for eating candy? Huh? Some of the adults out there are saying that one. Huh? Well, today's first reading talks about one of those stories in Genesis that helps to explain the human condition. And the man and the woman ate something they weren't supposed to. And they got in trouble with God with that. When you get in trouble for eating something that you weren't supposed to, what happens? What happens, Abby?
Eating your treat.
You're eating your treat. Does that mean you don't get it anymore? No more treats? Yeah, do you get to eat broccoli anyway? Yeah, okay. Somebody else, what happens when you get in trouble for something you eat? Huh? Do you get sent to your room maybe? Or told you can't have any more treats for a while? Huh? Well, with the man and the woman, this was a great big problem because it ruined their whole relationship with God. But there is good news that God still loved them. Just like your parents still love you when you eat something that you shouldn't have. And God took action to change that. And that action is in Jesus. So we give thanks every Sunday that God loves us and that God has taken action to save us in Jesus. Amen. You may return to your seats. Hardly said a word. It was Saturday morning at the River House a week ago, and I was facing a dilemma. Our week with Mission Guatemala was coming to an end, and my dilemma was, should I leave my sheets and towels or not? Mission Guatemala, since they've had the River House, has let us know that they have uses for the sheets and towels that we bring with us, and if we want to leave them, they can put them to good use. Not necessarily there, but giving them away to other people. Now, I had no problems the previous two times I had stayed at the River House of giving them out, but this time was different. You see, I was down to my last two sets of sheets for a twin bed. And in December, I had assembled the bunk bed that I've had stored in the garage for a while, and I assembled it with anticipation that my two grandsons might come to visit and use that bed. And you see, if I gave away this set of sheets, I would be one set of sheets short for that bed. It's easy to give things away when you've got more than you need. But it's a little tougher when you don't. I packed my sheets in my suitcase on Friday night. And on Saturday morning, just before I was to take the luggage down to the office for storage, I changed my mind and put my sheets and towels in the containers they had laid out for us. On Tuesday of this week, I heard from Emily, one of the summer interns at Mission Guatemala, that Max, the communications director, had taken the sheets and towels to a relief center that was aimed at helping those people who had lost everything in the volcano's eruption. So my dilemma seemed pretty petty, don't you think? Imagine my trying to decide whether I could spare these versus the people who had lost everything. They had lost their houses, they had lost all their possessions, they had lost many members of their families, and they had lost their land. To lose family and to lose land is a big loss in Guatemala. So have you ever got caught up in your own pettiness? The woman and the man faced a dilemma in the garden. Which fruit to eat first? The picture of that creation is one of a good creation and of one of great abundance, and they could eat of any of the fruit in that garden that they wanted, except one. They could even eat of the fruit of the tree of eternal life. So, what did they choose? They chose the one fruit that would lead to death. Why did they choose that? Perhaps it was because God said, don't eat, and they had rebellious hearts, and they wanted to eat. Or perhaps it was because they were genuinely tricked by the serpent into mistrusting God's word. Oh, God really won't do that. Or perhaps it was because they desired the knowledge of good and evil so that they could be like God. This primeval story is in the Bible is how humanity snatched defeat from the jaws of victory. It's the first one of those. And they chose something other than the abundance of God's grace. And the reality was that it meant a contentious relationship with evil. from now on. 2 weeks ago today, the mission team visited St. Thomas Church in Chichicastenango. That church is unique in Guatemala because it's the only place where both Christian ceremonies and Mayan ceremonies are performed. The history of the place is it was a Mayan religious site before there was a church there. The Spanish came in, the Europeans came in, and they leveled the place of the Mayan religious site that was there. And they built a church there. And this was understanding of the destiny that the Europeans had, that they were to go and conquer these people and convert them to Christianity. So they wiped out that religious site. But what the Spaniards didn't understand is the steps there, which they left there, had significant Mayan religious meaning. There were 18 steps, and there are 18 months in the Mayan calendar. And so climbing those steps was a part of the religious ceremonies of the day. When the church was built in 1540, the Spanish just built right on top of that. So the church is 478 years old, pretty old for anything that we might see around us. But the steps that lead up to it are 4,000 or 5,000 years old. This site represents some of the same kind of dilemmas in the creation story about who do we trust? What God do we put our trust in? How does Christianity relate to other religions? Are these evil? Or are these attempts to worship and serve God as best they knew it? God's response to human sin, to human disobedience, is found in verse 8 of Psalm 130, which we read this morning. For the Lord shall redeem Israel from all their sins. Now, the true story of the Jewish people was that God would bless them, and through them, God would bless all the peoples of the world. This was their calling. This was their destiny. And so to hear that God would redeem Israel of all their sins also had implications for the rest of the world. The Christian proclamation is that this promise is fulfilled in Jesus' life, death, resurrection, and ascension, that God is liberating us from the powers of evil that hold us captive, sin and death and evil. And imagine those leaders, those Jewish leaders who have this fulfillment of God's promises given long ago. He is physically in their midst. They see him and they hear him. And instead of receiving that promise fulfilled, they make him into a rival. And as a rival, they cast him in the role of the evil one, that these are the powers that make him operate so well. He must be of the evil one. Talk about petty jealousy. Talk about a pettiness that misses the mark. That's what happens. The first and primary gift of the Holy Spirit is faith. We trust God's grace revealed to us in Jesus Christ. We trust in what God is doing in that grace and the gift of eternal life. And that promise of eternal life leads us to have confidence so that we can love and serve God and neighbor. Now, our primary quest, or the primary quest of the Christian faith, is not how do I get to heaven, but the primary quest of the Christian faith is how do I participate in the kingdom of God? How do I do the will of God? As Jesus said, these are my brothers and my sisters and my mother, those who do the will of God. This year's mission team to Guatemala accomplished nothing. Now, it wasn't because they were lazy or inept. In fact, they found that they could do some things that they weren't sure that they could do when it began. But the project that Mission Guatemala is doing is a very large project, the largest project they've ever taken on with volunteers like this. It's building a kind of administration building, a gathering place for all the teachers of the school district of San Andreas. And San Andreas is the name of a little town in which the mission is located in. But San Andreas is also like the name of a township. It covers a larger area. And I believe there are something like 23 different schools in the district. Those who went 3 years ago, we built a bathroom at Maria del Carmen, the community of Maria del Carmen. And that school is about 35-40 minutes drive from the mission. So you can see it covers quite a territory and its significance in terms of the distance that you have to drive. But building this building is something that started in March of last year. Our mission team of students with Angie and Barb Kinley, they were still digging the footers when they went the first week or so of May last year, and it continues. But the job that we were called to do was mostly that of a transition. They had poured the concrete ceiling for the building, and we simply removed the supporting lumber to that. As I think about it now, I had no thoughts of that ceiling coming in on us, but now as I reflect back, I'm thankful that it had dried thoroughly and that it did not come down on us. But taking out that lumber meant that we were given the task of pulling nails. And it's amazing how those volunteers bent nails so many times that we had to pull out. And there was a stack of wood there, and I thought, oh, I looked at that one afternoon, and I said, oh, man, we're going to be doing this for the rest of the week. This is what we're doing, is pulling nails. But by the middle of the next day, all of that stack of wood was gone. It had been stored neatly, sorted and neatly in a storage room, for they were going to use it later. And then we dug some trenches for the electrical conduit that would run the electrical outlets through. And after that, we got some of that lumber back out of the storage shed and started to reuse it. We were building what they called scaffolding. It was just really single platforms for people to stand on. The next teams would be trying to even out the cement of the ceiling and then stuccoing the ceiling. So we were really, our work was really a transition in terms of the construction process. Did we make any great visible contribution to the kingdom of God in doing that? No, we didn't. But it's oftentimes that God calls us into these things that are kind of baby steps along the way. The baby steps of faithfulness that add up to a larger kind of vision. when we are filled with our own self-importance, rarely do we serve the kingdom of God. It is in small steps through many people of faith that the invisible kingdom of God gets some sense of being visible. When our first mission team went to Guatemala in 2011, one of the big projects that they had started at the time was a feeding center in the community of Nueva Esperanza. The feeding center, that community, had been relocated because they had been wiped out in a flood. And so the buildings existed across a gully that could be seen from the mission center in San Andreas. And it was some row houses that had been built and a school. But they were very poor. And so the feeding center became one of the first efforts of Mission Guatemala, and that's what happened with the Packaway, or the first Kids Against Hunger and now Packaway Hunger, making those packets. We saw that we could contribute to that effort. Well, now as you look across that valley, what you see, you barely can see the feeding center. It stood out very readily before, but now you can hardly see it because there are so many other houses built, and they are nicer houses. And they no longer do the feeding program there because all of the men in the community have regular jobs. That in itself in Guatemala is a miraculous kind of thing. But as you look at that, you see how the work that has been done has helped that community be restored in its fruitfulness. Over time, those baby steps, those little steps that have contributed to that community have helped it to be able to be self-sustaining and fruitful. Communities that are restored in their fruitfulness are certainly a witness to the kingdom of God. The antidote to our pettiness is thanksgiving. Paul writes today in the 2 Corinthians we read, "Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will bring us with you into his presence. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God." Through the work of Mission Guatemala, God's grace is extending to more and more people so that we can give thanks. And we've been a part of it for 7 years, some of us directly, hands-on, others of us more indirectly through prayers, through the contributions of money to support the trip and the finances, and in our regular budget contributing to Guatemala. But through this work, God is extending God's kingdom, God's grace to more and more. And so we can give thanks. Thanks to God for what God is doing. Thanks also that we get to participate in that building of the kingdom, both in Guatemala and here, right here, every day. Amen.